Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 54. Prinanti yata mam dira. Sarabhavena sadhava. Shreyas kama mahabhaga. Sarvasam ashisham patim. Prinanti. Try to please. He, indeed. Atta, because of this. Mam, me. Dira, those who are sober and most intelligent. Sarva bhavena, in all respects, in different modes of devotional service. Sarva, persons who are very well behaved. Perfect in all respects. Shreyas kama, desiring the best benefit in life. Mahabhaga, O you who are so fortunate. Sarvasam, of all. Ashisham, kinds of benedictions. Patim, the master. Me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes and mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Purport. The word dira sarva bhavena do not mean in whichever way you like. Bhava is the preliminary condition of love of Godhead. Ata saktis tato bhavas tata prema vyudanshati sadakanamayam prema pradur bhave bhavat krama. The bhava stage is the final division before one reaches love of Godhead. The word sarva bhava means that one can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental modes and mellows, beginning with dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. In the santa stage, one is on the border of loving service to the Lord. Pure love of Godhead begins from dasya and develops through sakya, vatsalya, and then madhurya. Still, in any of these five mellows, one can render loving service to the Supreme Lord. Since our main business is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can render service from any of the above mentioned platforms of love. Text 55. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras, who always aspired for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benediction for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. Purport. Pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj do not aspire for any material benefit at any stage of devotional service. When the Lord was present before Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva did not want to take any material benefit from the Lord. Swamin kritarto smin varam na yache. As a pure devotee, he could not ask the Lord for any material benefit. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us, nadanam nadanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani share bhavatad bhakti arhai tukitvai. O my Lord Jagadish, I do not pray for benedictions by which to achieve material wealth, popularity, or beauty. My only desire is to serve you. Kindly engage me in the service of the servant of your servant. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, titled Prahlad Pacifies Lord Narsingadeva with Prayers. Prahlad didn't want to ask any benediction. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us that we shouldn't ask for any material benediction. So, what is our position? Are we asking for any benedictions? Are we on the same category as Prahlad Maharaj? So how can we tell if we're asking for benedictions? Can anyone tell me? How can you tell if you're asking for benedictions? No one knows. Mm-hmm. Yes, Gadadhar Pandit. Yes, that's partly true. Whose enjoyment are you not thinking of? Yeah, anything outside of Krishna's service, because we have to desire. So when we're not desiring to serve Krishna, then naturally our desires are dovetailed with a material energy. Or maybe Brahmati, Paramatmati, maybe on the level of Brahman or Paramatma. But service to Krishna, that's different from service to our material desires. Therefore, Krishna Bhagavad Gita says, Yani sha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasa jagati bhutani sanisha pashuto mune. What is night for all the sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-control. And what is a time of awakening for the self-controlled is a night for all sentient beings. In other words, practically everyone in this material world is dreaming of sense enjoyment, because after all, the soul, we ourselves are transcendental, and material nature is just like a dream appearing before us. A very good dream, because it's created by Krishna. No one can make a better dream than Krishna. It's called virtual reality. It appears to be real, but even the scientists will tell us that 99.9% of what we're seeing is just space. Due to our perceptions, we are imagining that there's something going on here other than our imagination. Not that we're so powerful, our imagination, that we can create these things, but as a result of everyone's desiring, Krishna is arranging the material nature according to what we desire and deserve. And as a result of our circumstances, naturally, we're going to desire something according to our time, place, and circumstance. That everyone in the material world is faced with difficulty. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishne Paratakshatova Vitobi Padyeta Griha Ratana. Everyone is faced with some kind of difficulty. The very fact that this body is dwindling, we'll have to die eventually, is a difficulty, it's a problem. And the fact that we have to grow old, and the fact that we're always in dis-ease, lack of ease. Therefore we see most of the devotees are taking shelter of the wall, rather than Krishna. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Prabhupāda used to say that was impersonalism. Taking shelter of the wall. But it's Brahman also, so I guess it's Krishna's energy, so indirectly taking shelter of Krishna. So everyone is taking shelter of something. Everyone is relying on something. But out of illusion, we don't realize that actually what we're taking shelter is illusion. It appears to be all real. And it's not false in the sense it exists, but it's all temporary. It's just all fleeting. Whatever we think we have now is gone in a moment. Therefore, whether we lose our pen and we lament the whole day, where is my pen? You stole my pen. I think you stole my pen. Where is it? Give it back. You heard the story of King Riga, right? Or even if someone doesn't steal our pen, it's going to disappear. It's disappeared anyhow. And it's definitely going to disappear in the future. completely. Actually, every moment, the material universe is appearing and disappearing. The example given is like when you're watching a movie, every slide is actually a separate slide. It just, because it goes so quickly, therefore we think it's continuous, but actually it's all separate. So the material world is just one snapshot after another, continuously going, and therefore we actually think it's actually real, but it's all just one temporary thing, flash after another. But we take it very seriously, and because we take it seriously, therefore we're caught up in our desires in relation to it. But if we take it seriously in service to Krishna, then we become liberated. So we don't have to change what we're doing. We just have to stop desiring for our material benefit or the material benefit of others or the material discomfort of others. That's another way of doing it. We have to stop desiring in terms of material energy and start desiring in terms of the spiritual energy, desiring for Krishna. So that requires some jnana, that everything here is Krishna's energy. Everything here is meant for Krishna's service, and ultimately Krishna's doing everything here. All we're doing is desiring. And if we desire to serve him, then he'll make all the arrangements so that our service to Krishna means that we'll be in a perfect position. And service in material nature means struggle. Even when we come to the mode of goodness and we can understand how to work in the material nature, still it's going to be a struggle because we still have to die, we have to grow old, we have to become diseased, and then we have to take birth again. So even in the mode of goodness, it's a struggle. Only in pure devotional service can we be assured that what we're doing is for our eternal benefit. And because it's for our eternal benefit, therefore it's actually also for other people's benefit, for everyone's benefit. There's no other activity which gives permanent benefit except for pure devotional service. And it can bring one to the highest platform of rasa with Krishna. Therefore, devotional service is all auspicious. It's beneficial for everyone. It gives one all good qualities, derives even material sense gratification, and everyone can engage in it. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was not asking for anything else other than to be engaged in Krishna's service. Because anything else we get, what are we going to do with it? Any other benediction we get from Krishna in this material world is all temporary. And then we've lost, partly at least, we've lost the opportunity to get eternal benefit. Just by serving Krishna, there can't be any higher benediction than just the opportunity to serve Krishna. Service to Krishna means, for the devotee who's aspiring to become a servant of Krishna, it means that one is coming closer to liberation. In other words, our very existence as a spiritual being in devotional service to Krishna can't be a higher benediction. There's no higher benediction because it gives one unlimited pleasure, which is unimaginable because we have very little experience of actually what real pleasure is. So when we say unlimited, it doesn't make any sense to us. First, we've got to get a couple of drops and we'll see what a glass is like and then maybe a tub or something. You know, we talk about an ocean of happiness. The only ocean we know is, you know, we go down to the Pacific, you know, to the Atlantic around here. That's the closest we get to an ocean. But anyhow, we'd accept a cup of bliss or maybe a couple of glasses of bliss. Then we can get some idea what they're talking about. An ocean of bliss. Anyhow, that's what it says, that even if liberation is, the happiness and liberation was multiplied 100 billion times, 100 trillion times, it wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction of one drop in the ocean of devotional service. So, who can understand? I can't understand it. But anyway, we can repeat what Prahlad Maharaj said. And if he's an honest person, then we can appreciate he's talking about something very great. So great that Prahlad Maharaj didn't hesitate to say, I don't need anything. I just want to be engaged in your service, that's all. I'm not a merchant. I'm anik. So I'll stop there, actually. This is the end of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. We're more than halfway through the Bhagavad, the seventh canto. And I think I started here with the Lord was equal to everyone. And now we're through. Hiranyakashipu's finished for another few years. Prahlad Maharaj has offered his prayers. And now we're going to go into Prahlad, glorification of Prahlad, then the Varnashram system, the perfect society, behavior of a perfect person, instructions for civilized human beings. So this is actually, practically speaking, the end of the pure devotees' pastimes, most of them. Because eighth canto, there's Bali Maharaj and different things, but now we get into the heavenly planets and how it's not a good idea to try to enjoy in the heavenly planets, how they have so many problems too. Even become a demigod, your life is going to be full of difficulty. Ninth canto is, again, the dynasties, including Lord Ramachandra, so we get some insight in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And finally we get up to the tenth canto, Krishna's pastimes. But this is, as far as specifically glorifying pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness, using one of the Mahajans as an example. Of course, the next canto, we have Bali Maharaj, who's also a Mahajan. Anyhow, this is a very interesting canto. But now we'll find out how to become a human being, what a human being is, and what the Varnashram system is, and the rules, the duties of men, women, and all the different castes, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, how they help us come to the platform of eventually giving up material desires and coming to the platform where we can understand who Krishna actually is in truth. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Shortest day of the year and the shortest class of the year.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. So I found very interesting the analogy you gave that our material life is like snapshots. So then I wonder, sometimes we need to plan, we try to organize, and then how to organize if this snapshot is not there. So then I wonder myself, because how to
get a better camera. No, we organized. But we're not organizing, we're desiring. Krishna is doing the whole thing. So we desire, if we can see, Krishna gives us intelligence, what he wants us to do. And if we dovetail our intelligence with that, then Krishna will make the arrangements. It's not up to us, but we're not doing anything. I can't say, let there be, a planet, and the planet appears. And even then, that was up to Krishna to do it.
So, is understand, we need to observe our desires, and according to these desires, Krishna will arrange.
Yeah, we have to make sure our desires are dovetailed in Krishna's service. We have to see what Guru said on Shastra, Super Soul in the Heart, what Krishna wants us to do, and plan accordingly. Krishna has plans too. He planned to come here. Everybody says he comes in every millennium. So Krishna has a whole bunch of plans. So Krishna will tell us what his plans are for ourselves and for others too. What he wants us to do with his body, for instance. Krishna will tell us. We ask him. And then if we plan accordingly, then Krishna will manifest or not manifest. But if Krishna tells us what he wants us to do, it's probably much more, it's very likely he's going to manifest it. Is that right?
Yeah, because like I found myself many times in the situation, I'm not sure either I should be active or passive, like, you know.
Well, if you don't know what to do or not to do, don't do anything.
Yeah.
Research through Guru Sadhana and Shastra, and when everything humbly research, praying, that Krishna gives us the intelligence to understand through Guru Sadhana and Shastra. And when Krishna reveals everything, he tells us exactly what he wants us to do. Everything becomes clear, then we can do it. We shouldn't just take the first thing that comes to my mind. We should be blind, following, and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.